Hello and welcome to the Gridiron Gentlemen podcast. It's going to be a bit of a weird one this week, as it's just me. Everyone else is unavailable right now, so it's going to be me breaking down the four divisional games for which that I have some skin in the game on this one, with the Bears playing the Rams, which will be the last one we talk about. But we're going to go through them in chronological order, talking about ways that teams can win, ways that I think they can win, ways that I think they're going to go, and just general thoughts on the games. It's probably going to be a bit shorter because I don't have quite so much to talk about when there's not other people to bounce off, but we're going to work our way through it anyway. Before that happens, as this is being aired, it is expected that John Harbaugh will sign as the Giants head coach and potentially bring Todd Monken as offensive coordinator with him. Really nice mix. I think Monken in particular with that offense is a particularly nice mix. But what I love about this is you're putting someone with a great deal of experience into a position that requires a great deal of experience. The New York teams in general require head coaches with a bit of stamina. And that's what John Harbaugh will bring to him. I don't think he's ever been a bad coach. I think that generally what's happened is that sometimes teams kind of fall out of love with the person they've got calling plays for them or the person they've got running their team. And that, I think, is what's happened here. So John Harbaugh goes in as the head coach, we believe, of the New York Giants. And I think that's a really nice fit and a bit of a coup they managed to get him. So well done to the New York. So aside from that, we have, playoff games to talk about. Four of them. Divisional round is generally considered the best round. We've got eight of the top teams in the league battling against each other. The one seeds finally come back into play. So welcome back, Denver. Welcome back, Seattle. And we'll get to the Denver Broncos and the Buffalo Bills game to start with. Bills come into this one with some injury concerns, mostly in wide receiver. The room is decimated and they are kind of left with just Khalil Shakir, Brandon Cooks and Keon Coleman to come back. Curtis Samuel's been activated to 21-day practice window as well. So on top of which they've got their tight ends. Josh Allen is set to play. He obviously suffered a few injuries in the last game against Jacksonville. Game that the Bills just snuck past on the magic of Josh Allen. And Jags' defense was one of the best run defenses in the league, it's worth noting. And although the Bills did struggle to get it going, they managed to find theirs on the back of their quarterback and managed to use him to make things happen. And I would imagine that's probably what's going to happen in this one as well. I think the Denver Broncos are very well suited to deal with it, though. That's going to be a massive problem. In terms of like strength-on-strength matchups, the Buffalo Bills have one of the greatest running attacks in the league. First for yards, first for touchdowns, and second for yards per attempt. But they're up against a Denver Broncos team, which is the second run defense in the league. Second best run defense in the league. Second for yards stopped. Fourth for touchdowns allowed, and third for yards per attempt. So the strength-on-strength matchup of the Buffalo Bills offense is their running backs versus a very good Denver rush defense. So no receivers on the outside is a problem for Buffalo. They're going to be hitting the inside anyway. So what that means is we're going to see a fair bit of Jardy Barron in this one, I think, who has had a up and down season so far. But that there is a potential weak link for the Denver Broncos. I would like to think they will disguise that. I would like to think they'll help him out. But Jardy Barron against the slot receivers such as Khalil Shakir, and then also Jardy Barron against tight ends, might be a potential thread for the Buffalo Bills to pull on. I'm not saying that's necessarily going to work, because this Broncos defense is very, very good. But as I say, a potential threat, and that's exactly what they need. Buffalo Bills defense showed a bit of spirit in the last one. And really, we're after seeing what Bo Nix can do in the playoffs this time around. He has had a very good season so far, but there are definite weaknesses, and I think the Bills will try and exploit them. This is a Sean McDermott defense at its core. This is what it looks like. Sure, the team players are getting a little bit older, but we are seeing some sparks of life. Tre'Davious White in the last game, for example, about as good a game as he's had in a very, very long time. And I'd imagine they will be hoping they can see some of that magic as well against a very good Denver Broncos receiving core. I worry about the Buffalo Bills in this one. In terms of injuries, I think they are about at the limit of what they can handle. I think we will see a so-so Broncos rush defense, rush attack in this one. Try and exploit what the Buffalo Bills are doing, which is not a great deal in terms of stopping the run. They are very exploitable there. So I think where we've got a strength on strength is Buffalo Bills versus the Denver Broncos defense. And where we've got a potential weakness is something that you would hope that the Denver Broncos can exploit, which is their run game, against the Buffalo Bills run defense. That being said, what we are seeing at the moment defies any kind of logic, because we are seeing a true stratospheric quarterback playing at the very best he can play. And that, I think, is a potential difference maker. Bo Nix has been playing some nice football. Bo Nix has been playing very, very well. Josh Allen hasn't until last week, when he put the team on his shoulders and carried them across the line. I struggle to think that that is enough to take him past one of the best defenses in the league. And I think whether they come up against the Broncos here, or they come up against the Texans next time round, that is going to be the ultimate stopping point for the Buffalo Bills. I hate to think this, because I would love the Bills to take it this year. The Bills have a clear route through, as clear a route through as they've ever had. No Patrick Mahomes to stop them. No Lamar Jackson. Just some good defense. And both the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos are incredible defenses. Technically, you could see a run where if the Buffalo Bills were to get through, there's a very good chance they'd have to play Denver Broncos defense, one of the number one defenses in the league. Houston Texans defense, one of the number one defenses in the league. And then in the Super Bowl, Seattle Seahawks defense, one of the number one defenses in the league. That might be somewhat exhausting for a Buffalo Bills team that is just trying to get through every game where they can. But Josh Allen is a superhuman. I went back and forth on this one as to who I think I'm going to go for. The weaknesses kind of stand out for me, and I think they can be exploited. Sean Payton's a great head coach as well, let's not forget that, and puts his team in a position to win more often than not. And on that, I think I'm going to go for a Denver Broncos win against a Buffalo Bills team, which I would love to see win, and I would love to see them do well. I just don't think they've necessarily got it in them right now. So, first game, I'm going to go for a Denver Broncos win against the Buffalo Bills. Right, so next up, we have the San Francisco 49ers visiting the Seattle Seahawks for the third time this season. Another divisional game. Of the four teams left in the playoffs in the NFC, three of them are from the NFC West. And I think they would like to get rid of the interloper sooner rather than later. Seattle Seahawks come into this one with statistically probably the best defense in the league. I've said it about three times, but think these guys are truly the daddy when it comes to this. And a passing attack that seems to be getting itself together a bit. Running wise, they've struggled a little bit at times, but they've managed to hold it together. So they've got a defense that can slow teams down. They've got an offense that can attack. This is probably the most complete team in the NFL right now. I do genuinely believe that. That being said, the San Francisco 49ers are an absolute juggernaut on offense, and they do enough to keep the score down on defense. Last week against the Eagles, they were opportunistic. Despite the fact they had no George Kittle, they managed to get things done. Christian McCaffrey is an absolute physical freak, and I think that he has definitely snuck, maybe not quietly, into the Offensive Player of the Year category, and deservedly so. Meanwhile, Jackson Smith and Jigba's cooled off a little bit, but not anything to be concerned about. The Seahawks defense is unreal. They are one of the best defenses in the league, and they are managing to put it together. They are disguising things with players that are versatile and that can mean you can stay in a relatively heavy package all through the game, which I think plays into their advantage. Up against Christian McCaffrey, who has been one of the best weapons for the San Francisco 49ers this year, both as a running back and a pass catcher. If you can stay in the same style defense, which is essentially a heavy nickel or base package, thanks to Emenwari coming in and doing a great job, then you stand a pretty good chance of at least trying to slow down Christian McCaffrey. And if you can do that, you can slow down the San Francisco 49ers. On offense, pass defense is a problem for the Niners and has been all season. And that is a concern for them, for me. Sam Darnold is balling. He's got an amazing receiving core. He is doing a decent job. And Jackson Smith and Jigba is a standout player. I'm looking forward to seeing two standout offensive weapons in this one, in Jigba and Christian McCaffrey. Sadly, not many more from the San Francisco 49ers. And at some point, the injuries probably come to a head, where you have to say, this is probably too much to deal with. And I think we are probably about there with the Niners. For me, the Seahawks come into this one as favourites to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. And although I think this is probably going to be a close game, I think the Seahawks are going to take this one. Self-induced wounds will be the biggest problem for the Seahawks. That and the fact that Kyle Shanahan is a damn genius. But I think Seahawks' ability to exploit a lack of a pass rush and to make plays downfield will be what takes them in this one. And that's no disrespect to Brock Purdy, who's done an amazing job this season. I just think with the Seahawks' ability to keep a hybrid defense on the field that can solidify what you do in both the run and the pass game without making any personnel changes, I think that is going to be very problematic for the San Francisco 49ers. And as a result, I think the Seattle Seahawks probably take this one. Next up, the Buffalo Bills visit the New England Patriots. Not the Buffalo Bills. The Houston Texans even visit the New England Patriots. The Texans absolutely obliterated the Steelers' offense in the last game and made them look old, which, to be fair, is partially true. Aaron Rodgers can get anything going, and that made the game very easy for a Houston Texans defense that I think is the scariest in the league. Maybe not the best, but definitely the scariest. The pass rush on the Houston Texans might cause some fits here for the New England Patriots. Patriots struggled against the Chargers. I don't think it was ever in question that they were going to win the game, but still the Chargers did a good job on defense and stifling them. Heavier outside pass rushes caused a problem. And Will Campbell, I think, maybe had a few issues in this one. And I think he's going to have a few more against Will Anderson in this one. Will Anderson's one of the best defensive players in the league at the moment. And he just keeps finding ways to get the pass rush going. So then there's that. There is a violent secondary that doesn't mind matching up against some violent offensive pieces as well. That could be problematic for the Patriots. Patriots defense plays well enough generally. And I think for the Texans to win this one, Stroud is really going to need to pull out the bag. I'm not 100% sure he's got that in him. The problem I have, though, is Drake May, I know, has interceptions in him. And if he's going to throw them, he's probably going to throw them in this game. It seems a shame that we have to pick the quarterback or the MVP based on regular season performance, because this is the kind of performance potentially where Drake May could put the team on his back and take them to the conference game. And I think he is capable of doing it, but there are definitely still mistakes. Drake May's worst moments last week were still not that bad, and I think as the season's gone on, we've definitely seen him improve, and that is room for encouragement for the New England Patriots. This, however, this defense is unstoppable. And I think you're going to have a hell of a game plan to deal with that. For me, I'm kind of eyeing up the Houston Texans as an outside Super Bowl bet right now. That's kind of how high I am on them. I think they've got enough pieces to make a difference. And I think on defense, they are terrifying. And they will absolutely have no problem shutting you down. And I think that might be it. I think that might be why I might go for the Houston Texans in this one. I think the Patriots have been good. I think Drake May probably is the MVP, although Matt Stafford is still rather good, and we'll talk to him about him in a bit. But I do think that the Houston Texans probably just have a little bit too much for a New England Patriots team that have exceeded expectation. it is hilarious to me that the New England Patriots were able to take such advantage of the Chargers' offensive line. And that I am here, sitting here, telling you that the Texans' offensive line might be sturdy enough to deal with it. Which is not a position I would have taken at the start of the season. But they've made changes and they've become relevant. And maybe even a little bit more than relevant. Maybe even a Super Bowl contender. Like a legit Super Bowl contender. So with that then, I'm going to go for the Houston Texans in this one. I think the defense is just going to cause Drake May fits. And I am curious as to how he's going to deal with it. Because I am not 100% confident that he has all of that necessarily in him. But we shall see. I am rooting for Drake May. I like him a lot. To round out the divisional round weekend, we have the Rams visiting Soldier Field. Two of the takes I've seen online that seem to carry the most weight. Matt Stafford in cold weather is bad. Okay. Next one. Sean Payton's going to really want to play. Sorry. Sean McVay is going to really want to play because he's really good friends with Matt LaFleur and he's going to want to get revenge against Ben Affleck. Ben Johnson. Yes, because Sean McVay had no intention of actually putting together a decent game plan until Matt LaFleur got embarrassed at Soldier Field in the divisional round of the playoffs by a very spirited Ben Johnson, by the way, who didn't do anything wrong. Grow up, Packers fans. You want to hear my true opinions on that? Listen to the last pod. So I think the joy of this game is that we are watching offensive genius versus offensive genius. And the NFC in particular is riddled with these sicko offensive geniuses. LaFleur, McVay, Shanahan, and Ben Johnson as well. All three of which still in the playoffs. With the Bears being the only team not in the NFC West in the playoffs. In terms of places the Rams could exploit, there are numerous ones. I think Puka Nacua is twice as physical as most of the cornerbacks on this team. I would like to think the Bears will do their best to put Kyler Gordon on Puka Nacua wherever they can. And that will hopefully slow him down a little bit. But he has been outstanding so far this season. With that then, that probably leaves Devontae Adams wide open. The secondary has not played well. And although the Bears have done a great job at adjusting at halftime, in general, the defense has been, I think, a smidge disappointing. No TJ Edwards in this one. That is a problem. And they come off the back of, I think, a questionable pass rush on this team. I think they're going to manage to slow down Williams, as in Kyrie Williams, with a so-so run defense. But I think the difficulty comes when you try and stop an MVP-level quarterback in Matt Stafford with a defense that has been struggling to find some form, at least in the first half at least. Now, on the other side of the ball, I think you have an ability to exploit targets outside with the Rams cornerbacks being slightly disappointing so far this season. And I think that will be where Caleb Williams will be targeting. I think you can potentially run the ball, and I think in the cold weather, I think that's going to be wise. I think that's what I would be aiming to do. But it's an ability to run the ball against a so-so defense, a pretty decent Rams defense, versus a Bears defense which has struggled with plays particularly across the middle and with stronger receivers like Puka Nacua. And I think that might be where the Rams have an advantage here. And that might be the Achilles heel for the Chicago Bears as well. Caleb Williams, what a great story. And I think as Bears fans, I think we are happy that we've got this far. Packers fans saying that was our Super Bowl. You know what? Maybe it was. But what a great game. What a great experience. And one of the greatest moments I've ever had as a Bears fan. With the hype surrounding that, maybe the wind is taken from the Bears' sails just a little bit. But I have to believe that Ben Johnson has some tricks up his sleeve now. I have to believe that. Ben Johnson versus Sean McVay is a battle of the true sickos, and I love it, and I can't wait for it. If I was a neutral, I would be super excited about this one. Rams' number one offense comes in, and, you know, has had moments where they've looked a little bit shaky, but they go up against a Bears defense that has struggled in the first half, but has managed to then wake up in the second half. They also go out, have a defense that has played reasonably well, but goes up against a rushing attack in the Chicago Bears that the Packers did a great job of slowing down. But I strongly believe the Rams might struggle a little bit compared to what the Packers managed to do, even with diminished defensive talent. So then it comes down to the magic of the quarterbacks. Matt Stafford has been solid all season, and his ability to throw across the field, and the three tight end sets that the Rams have been lining up in this season, I think will cause the Bears fits, and I think is a potential mismatch in this one. My heart says Chicago Bears, because I think they are the hot team at the moment. I think they are a team of destiny, but just sheer talent-wise, what they're going up against with the Rams compared to what they went up against with the Packers is just on a completely different caliber. And I say this having watched the Rams struggle to beat the Carolina Panthers. So maybe there is hope for the Chicago Bears to win this one. And then maybe I'm getting this entirely wrong, because they did really struggle against the Panthers. Panthers managed to stay in that game and used two exceptional cornerbacks to keep them in it and slow down a blistering Rams offense. So maybe the Bears can do that one. Maybe they come out of the gates hot in this one. But we've been waiting for it all season, and we haven't really seen a truly dominant Chicago Bears performance. And for that, I'm going to go with the Rams in this one. And I don't love it personally. I'd love to see the Chicago Bears advance here. I don't think it's going to happen, though. So yeah, with that, that is a probably slightly shorter look at the divisional round than I would have liked. But needs must. We have a pod now coming out, so enjoy. We'll be back with more people, hopefully, next week, rather than you just listening to me blither on my own. But thank you for listening. If you want to contact us, hit us up on Twitter, or X, sorry, or hit us up on Blue Sky. It's just Gridiron Gents on both of those. And then go to both of those accounts, find the pinned tweet, and then hit us up on Discord, which is where most of our conversations take place. And the true gents kind of in-depth look at games kind of takes place all on there. We'd love you to come join us on the Discord. It's where a lot of fun happens. And this is going to be an outstanding weekend to be there and to discuss football with us. So I hope to see you all on Discord. I'm going to remind you all again every week. Thank you for listening to Just Me. And we'll be back next week with more football. So thank you and goodbye.